Okay, this is the podcast, The Indefensible Middle Ground, and this is Gun. That was my kind. Tis of thee. We don't have any non-recorded music from this century that we can use.
Public domain right there.
What was that?
Public domain music.
Yes, we will use Battle Hymn of the Republic, My Country, Tis of Thee, Baba Black Sheep. So, okay.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
What news have you of the tech world? I can't wait to get into talking about Kenya and how they are responding to their terrorist attack. But first, I want to check in with you. What do you have to tell us about tech issues, tech world, new gizmos, whatever you got? What do you have for us?
Well, yeah, this time of year is when everybody starts releasing new products. You got the Microsoft Surface 3 coming out. The Apple Watch, which is almost as good as my Samsung Watch. Which, I say that in sense people who haven't even worn an Apple Watch yet. But, yeah, I get 3 days of charge out of it. It has a camera, and a phone, and a television remote, all on my wrist. It's awesome. But the Apple Watch comes out here in a couple of days.
Yes, a lot of my friends are already freaking out about that.
The only major impact to life on the internet, as we know it, is Comcast, who described in unfair terms before, is trying to buy out Time Warner. So it's like, you know, if the Antichrist was attempting to buy out the devil, no, the other way around, the devil's trying to buy out the Antichrist. Merge.
Huh.
So you would have a single ISP that covers most of the country, and that would be not a bad thing if people could actually get set up and switch, but there's no way to switch in most of the country, so therein lies the problem.
Don't follow. Can you explain it with puppets?
Okay, so We had the whole net neutrality talk where Comcast was like, hey, this isn't fair. We can't set up high-speed internet. What they meant was we can't put speed bumps or toll roads on the existing internet and then charge a premium for unfettered access. So they're trying to buy out Time Warner, and what can happen is if, say, you produce television, you produce movies, anything at your house, the only ISP you might be able to get to your area might be Comcast or Time Warner. And if the two, Comcast and Time Warner merge, or Comcast buys Time Warner, there's going to be no alternative for much of the country. So basically, you'll have people will be completely beholden to this ISP if they want to be on the internet. And I would really like our free market, or a free market, to actually spring it up and work. But when you got an industry that big, it's absolutely in their best interest to pull every possible route, legal and otherwise, to crush all competition and keep them out of areas.
All right.
And then that's why it's a bad thing. I'm not getting as freaked about it as the net neutrality thing, but it would be bad. I live in an area where luckily I can choose at least two different ISPs, and I've actually got a local regional ISP that does a darn good job and has fantastic tech support.
Yeah.
I just called them up, Lumos Networks, used to be Intellos. I just called them up Friday and wanted to change my package. The lady was like, sure, we can do that. Click, click, click. There you go. Whereas if you Google or if you search search the internet for the people trying to cancel or change their Comcast service, getting the runaround for 45 minutes. You know, that's the difference between local, you know, basically homegrown internet and the mass bulk. They don't care about you because they got 30 million others just like you.
All right. Yeah, that's...
So, yeah, not as big a deal as net neutrality, well, but it is, you know, two of the largest players in that net neutrality fight looking to gang up.
I feel like the net neutrality thing that you were really bothered with was the fact that people weren't arguing net neutrality. They were throwing straw men at each other.
That was my whole gripe about that, is people going, oh no, some Muslim in the White House stole the internet. And I'm like, no, Mom. That's not what happened.
Now, it's my aggravation is the straw man argument constantly. That's my biggest aggravation when it comes to politics or technology or anything, are straw men arguments and contrarians. Like, well, I don't like you, so I'm going to do whatever you're not. Whatever you're doing, I'm going to do the opposite because I'm a contrarian. And yeah, Obama's a contrarian. A lot of the Republicans are contrarians to Democrats. And it's so frustrating. The straw man argument, really what that does is it makes this big, gigantic world that we live in really teeny tiny and small. And it's not a big picture thing. And that's what my biggest thing. Everyone is complicit with the recent political straw man battle, which is, you know, if you are for religion of any kind, you hate gays. And that's basically what it's coming across. People are trying to say, well, if you're for the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, that's a law that legalizes what I'm trying to quote the ABC headline, which says it legalizes discrimination against gays, which is not what it does. That would be like describing the First Amendment as legalizing shouting fire in a crowded theater, which is like, no, it doesn't legalize that. It's still illegal to shout fire in a crowded theater. It's still illegal to discriminate against people due to their race, color, creed, or sexual orientation. Now, when it comes to a business trying to sell, you know, not taking someone's money, on the other hand, that's not the same as hiring someone or selling someone a house. It's different if you're saying, hey, make a cake for me. That is an artwork that will be displayed at my wedding, and I am gay. The person on the other end of that cake counter should be able to say, I'm not really into you and what you're about because I'm different in a certain way religiously that says I don't do this, that, and the other. Or maybe they're a straight up homophobe and they say I don't like gays. And here's the thing, here's the takeaway from that, is this person will not be able to make the art that you need that person to make. And if you're rolling your eyes saying, oh, cake making isn't an art, it is. That cake, that's culinary art at its most photographic, most photogenic. It needs to pose for pictures, for crying out loud. So, yeah, if you are gay, don't go to a homophobic cake baker. Don't do that. Go to a cake baker who's going to be able to make a cake for you, and it's going to be able to be the work of art that you want. Because I'm guessing somebody who doesn't like you is not going to be able to make a beautiful work of art for your wedding. And how that straw man of, if this is a thing, then that's horrible discrimination and intolerance. And it's like, wait a minute. You think where to buy cake is the be-all, end-all of intolerance? Like, that's where we are now in America is, you know, where you can buy cake is... That shows how far we are, you know, when it comes to tolerance. It's like, no, there's...
It shows where on Maslow's hierarchy of needs we are as a society. You know, I mean, I hear all the time, oh, the, you know, the people, the poor are the gulf between the poor and the rich is wider than it's ever been. Well, in America, you're still richer. Even if you're poor in America, you're still richer than most of the rest of the planet.
Right.
You know, chances are you have, you know, a sealed up house, maybe air conditioning, maybe an air heat and, you know, a refrigerator. I mean, you have access to phenomenal stuff as a poor person in America. I mean, 60-inch televisions are under $1,000 now, which if you work a minimum wage job, you can afford. Now, the ridiculous, you know, problems we have is we pay the most in the world for health insurance and health stuff, and we get the 12th best. So we're, you know, we're paying a premium and not getting a premium on the health stuff, but that's a totally different rant. But, you know, that, you know, we have solved all of our other problems to the point where this is actually an issue, which is actually kind of a good ringing endorsement of our society in general. But it's one of those things where you're darned if you do, darned if you don't. Because actually now, in Indiana, the law that they passed was the same one that allows Native Americans to smoke peyote or drink peyote, whatever you do with peyote. Yeah, I'm not a drug guy.
It, yeah.
So,
I believe.
Now, in Indiana, you can just have the Church of Ganja and blaze it up, you know?
Well, but that's the thing, though. We're trying to take that away from them because you need to abolish that law because it might make a homophobe not spit in a cake that they're forced to make at threat of lawsuit for a homosexual couple. That's my biggest issue is if I walked into a store and I'm Jewish and I have, you know, my yarmulke on, and they go, "We hate Jews. Why don't you go back to Israel where, you know, you all be rounded up and killed?" And I would say, "Well, this person is disgusting and I don't want to eat at this place." I would leave. I would leave the building and I would not eat at that place because they would probably spit in my food if I said, "Hey, you can't discriminate against me. You have to go into that back room and make me a kosher Reuben." That's a Reuben, but no cheese. Get this. Listen to me, skinhead. It's a Reuben with no cheese. Now go behind those closed doors and make me this sandwich and then come back out. Otherwise, I'll have the ADL in here and we'll sue you. How much spit is going to be in that sandwich?
Rubbed on your sandwich, it's not even funny.
I know. Like, hey, I hope you like the Russian dressing. Just so you know, it's East Berlin dressing, really. Enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
That was the liberty. I actually got to hear, and I was talking to you before I heard the libertarian take on it. And I was kind of close, sort of like, okay, this is a pointless law. Are you going to, you know, hold people at gunpoint and make them make cakes? You know, the free market answer is go to somebody who likes you and wants your business.
Right.
And the goofy thing is, it's, you know, if it's your moral right to not have. I mean, it really depends on your religion because, you know, still in the Catholic Church, it's on the books that you can't be divorced and be a, you know, full-standing member of the Catholic Church. So if you're a Catholic and you have a cake-baking company, you know, you have to verify this is for the first marriage for both of these people, right? You know?
Listen.
And it's not a birthday cake for a stepchild, right? You know, we have to keep dialing down until, you know, you have no business at all whatsoever.
The view that I had was in that straw man argument, which infuriated everyone. Everyone's going, oh, CNN, everyone, this is horrible. That cake maker is the worst person on the planet in this straw man universe I live in. And it's like, no, all sides are stupid. Like, a cake maker should be like, ooh, well, that's weird, but I really want the $200 for the cake I'm about to make. So since I'm a business owner and I'm needing your money, I will take your money. And then if the person says some crazy thing like, hey, because of my religion, which is 2,000 years old, but includes homophobic stuff from my religion, that's 3,500 years old that we don't follow any of the other laws. I always like to point out, whenever a Christian tells me homophobic stuff, and they're like, well, it's in the Bible. And they go, yeah, also not eating ham. Do you not eat ham? And of course, they're like, well, no, because that's New Testament, blah, blah. It's like, okay, well, there you go. You don't follow my religion. Why are you quoting my religion's laws to discriminate against someone nowadays? It doesn't make any sense. Anyway.
Or mixed fabric. Mixed fabric. You know, you go to hell if you're wearing mixed fabric.
Well, and do you have tzitzit tied on the end of your fabric? You're supposed to have the little end of your fabric tied off. Did you know about that? Okay. Anyway, I want to read, since you've brought up basically everything I brought up the other day, I really just want to do a rundown on an interchange that I had with one of my very Democrat friends after he read my status, because my status was very much mocking the fake liberals in America for even making, you know, that the straw man that they made shows what spoiled brats they are. If that's the straw man that they look at as being Hitler, is you know, this ignorant cake baker who doesn't want money, apparently.
Well, hold on, before you read that though, can I just for 1 second defend the straw man concept?
Okay.
And the reason why is because we live in a news bite era where you get, you know, maybe 12 seconds to get your point across. So, you know, you get 140 characters, you get 12 seconds, you know, you're doomed no matter what. So it's, you know, to get an actual, real, cogent point across. And the problem is that kind of system leads itself to invectives, you know? Okay. People X are bad, people Y are good, you know? So I'm not offering a solution here. I mean, it's now we have we have as a culture, every one of us has attention deficit now. And like we said, isn't it amazing how Bill Cosby being accused of rape ended all of the Ebola in the United States? You know, that was the news story.
Ferguson ended all of Ebola in the United States. There's no Ebola after Ferguson.
Ferguson ended Ebola. Well, but Bill Cosby's thing ended something. I can't remember what it was, but you know, it's And the next celebrity death will do it too.
It's whatever the gift that keeps on giving.
The celebrity that pops off and leaves a good corpse is going to be, you know, the next big thing. So
okay.
So
you're saying personifying issues with the straw man helps in a way.
I'm saying it's inevitable. I'm not saying it helps. I'm saying it's the only way you're going to get on the news is if you can prop your straw man up and go, here's what's wrong with this straw man. He's a dick.
Okay. Well, let me...
and you know, it's only in long form shows like you know, the Sunday news shows that absolutely nobody watches. That they actually get a chance to have a nuanced views on the things. But, you know, whatever is in the 24-hour news cycle is just, you know, 12 seconds with a megaphone is all it is. So, you know, you have basically a vine's worth of time to tell everybody what's wrong with whatever the current situation is, which leads you to immediately painting the other side as the absolute worst thing as possible.
All right.
You know, we do that. You and I do that on our titling of our podcast.
Yes. Well. Yes. All right. So, Tech has officially gay married the straw man. That's exactly. My clickbait. That's my clickbait title. If I was to take that as a sound expert. Okay. Excerpt. So, all right. Here's the debate that went back and forth, and it started with me posting this. Christians, this is yesterday at 5:22 p.m., so that's April the 5th at 5:22 p.m. Christians, Muslims, and Jews are being slaughtered by fundamentalist right-wing terrorist groups all around the world. Do self-described liberals in America fight for their protection? No, they are preoccupied with where to buy cake. Congratulations, American left. You have reached Marie Antoinette levels of out of touch. Your concept of intolerance is the epitome of a first world problem. Let them eat cake. So, my buddy, I'm going to call him Robert, said, nope, that's not an okay way to look at it. That's facing the world as if there is a finite amount of outrage. The law is in our country, and something can be done about it. The liberals can't stop massacres in Middle East and Southeast Asia, but we should be outraged that a class of people is being discriminated against here at home. And then another one of our friends popped in to say, I buy cake at, and then he mentions someplace, because it's Facebook and people can just jump in there. I jump in again. And what do you say?
That person's making the free market claim there.
What, you the know, person they, randomly?
Indirectly. Yeah.
Okay.
They're indirectly making the free market claim, saying, look, it doesn't matter. I can buy my cake wherever.
And, then I reply, the overuse of the straw man is my aggravation. That law was a Democrat law from the 90s. It's meant to combat institutionalized intolerance against religious practices like natives and immigrants do that would be elsewise considered illegal, making it the freedom law. To be oppressive by using a straw man argument is just painful. And then I posted a link to my article, which I was posting on right about the same time. I was actually writing it while commenting back and forth. And that article is, religious freedom means homophobic? So let me get this straight. We need to take away the rights of natives to smoke peyote and keep eagle feathers so gays can buy cake from people who don't want to serve them? Is this liberal? I'm trying to be truly liberal here and truly see what angle is for freedom. Liberal rights that we have, like freedom of speech, give people we might not agree with the same rights we get.
I'd say civil rights, not liberal rights, for sure.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
It's a point of clarification here.
Okay.
I'm coming down on you.
Okay.
So you're wrong about everything.
Making a straw law out of the straw man of the homophobic store owner trying to end a religious freedom bill that is taking away religious freedoms from everyone. So, you know, meaning if you decided to you know, get in touch with your native roots and become a spiritualist. Well, yep, you lost that freedom because you repealed that law. Would be like, so back to my article, would be like making a bill that would take away the First Amendment and use the Jonesboro Baptist Church as the reason why. The politician would say, we need to stop these homophobes from speaking, congregating, and protesting. See how horrible and hateful they are? Anyone who supports this horrible amendment hates gays and hates military service personnel. Could you argue with that? I bet you would, you homophobe. Go burn a cross, you bigot. Have I made my point? My point is that the straw man arguments are ridiculous and not big picture viewpoints. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act helps Muslims and Native Americans more than it helps homophobic cake bakers. That's the truth. And that's the big picture. So, good liberals, protest the freedom of natives and immigrants so that gays can go to a third-rate baker and force them to take their money under threat of suit. Geniuses.
It, you know, the interesting thing is the bakery that's at the center of this being donated or had money collected for them, the tune of at least $500,000 in last count. So, I mean, there's good money in coming out saying you don't like certain groups of people. So I'm going to come out right now and say I can't stand those bastards that like the Star Trek, original series over the Next Generation.
Wait a minute. Are you hating original Trekkies?
Yeah. Well, A, they're older and likely can't beat me to death.
I do have to say, you have picked a horrible time to make that, seeing that Leonard Nimoy just died. So
see, now's the time to strike. That'll get the most amount of press, and then, you know, as soon as people start persecuting me for my belief, then I can have the $500,000 roll into me.
So
from people who agree that Picard is clearly the best captain.
So you will have like a picture of Chris Pine and I'm the worst. I'm just blanked on William Shatner's name. You have William Shatner and Chris Pine's picture, and you're lighting them on fire.
Exactly.
Yes.
The libertarian take on the whole religious freedom thing is all right. If you have the right to have a long beard in prison because you're Muslim, then you should have the right to have a beard because you're not a Muslim.
And we are back. Okay, yes, so you're saying the government should be out of it altogether and people should have any crazy amount of facial hair they want.
Well, yes, and the thing is you get into the business of then policing religions where somebody goes, say you got two guys in prison, and the prison rule is, oh, you can't have a beard. But Muslim guy has the religious freedom thing, so he says, hey, I could grow a beard. And then some other guy goes, all right, fine, I'm, temple of the sponge, and I can have a beard too. And then they go, you're not a real religion. So now you have to define exactly what a religion is.
Well, see, that's what I'm upset at atheists because they really should get better at, like, legally forming religions and stuff.
There's a couple. There's the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster and the Church of Bacon.
The Church of Bacon?
Yeah. That one's kind of targeted at a specific other religion.
I would say it's targeted at least two specific other religions.
Well, yeah, but they have one more in mind than the other,
Yes.
The guy who found it is a former fighter pilot, if that tells you anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't imagine too many fighter pilots that have been fighting Israel that much. So I'm guessing he's picking on the Muslims.
Probably.
All right, speaking of fighter pilots picking on the Muslims, I am really, 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 really into following this story. In Kenya.
Segue, I'd like to point out, totally derailed the segue, but that was a fantastic segue.
Thank you. The news this weekend was absolutely horrifying. If anyone was following some world news, there was 148 people at Garissa University in Kenya that were slaughtered by Muslim terrorists who, I mean, it just an absolutely insane. One of the horrific things is they were like posting threats around before, apparently, and you know, people were just, you know, it didn't seem real. It seemed completely like a surreal attack. The survivor stories are just heart-wrenching. Well, Kenya has wasted no time, and according to General Obonyo, they're taking airstrikes to Al-Shabaab network sites in the area. They're not putting up with this shit anymore. They are taking Al-Shabaab and sending them to hell where they belong, where they Yes.
Here's an example of how short memory the internet is, or the news is. I was trying to find follow-ups on the girls that have been taken by them, and there's not any info. Like, hey, they got them back, got some back, got none back. They're all dead. You know, there's no info at all. At least not that I could find.
Clean up here just a second. Yeah, that news story just basically just left, didn't it? We're done talking about it.
If they're still alive and well, then, you know, they haven't helped them. They're in torment right now. And
yeah.
I mean, you know, that, I would love to hear that something positive or closure.
But by this point, they are married. What they basically were doing in different situations, they were selling the girls into sex slavery, or they were marrying them off. And then the ones that they were brainwashing to be Muslim wives or Muslim terrorists, a couple of them blew themselves up in a marketplace in Nigeria. I mean, we're skipping from one side of Africa to the other. We were talking about the Al-Shabaab network, just to clarify for listeners. We were talking about Al-Shabaab network attacking Kenya, and now we're talking about Boko Haram, who is a scourge against Nigeria. Nigeria's new president, Mahamadou, he is planning on collaborating with Chad and Cameroon and really taking it to them, too. My only aggravation is when you hear them talk about, oh, yes, Boko Haram, we are going to work together. And it's like everyone thought that the Boot Up Your Ass song was a little obnoxious if you're not a huge country fan. But how many 9/11s does Nigeria need for them to get as pissed off as America got? You know, and to get as, like, patriotic. How many 9/11s do they need before they can get that patriotism sweeping across the country like that? And they can get together and say, hey, we're sick of these extremists up north acting like jackasses.
So. Well, and you know, you got, well, there's brilliant examples of it in Egypt where, you know, some of the Egyptian Muslims locked arms to protect the Christian services, you know, where you got even people are going to say, hey, you don't stand up for me, and we're standing against you, you know. But then ISIS comes in, same area, and beheads the stack of people. So it's, I mean, it ain't going to be a fast fix on any of this.
Hey.
But I think violence is the only language they seem to understand.
Yeah. Unfortunately. One moment. Okay, so we're back. We're recording. And you said a rabbit lives under your porch?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. You know,
it replaced the skunk, which is a good thing.
Can I just tell you, of all the animals that
is a metaphor.
of the D.C. area, let me tell you the animals that infest the D.C. area. In Northwest D.C., that's where everything is, you know, the lobbyist groups, the most of the Capitol stuff, Pennsylvania Avenue, all that stuff borders or is in Northwest D.C. Rats infest that area. And then Southeast D.C., it's cats. There are cats everywhere. like, just ridiculous. It's so weird. If you're in Southeast at night, there's so many cats out. And then Arlington, Virginia, which used to be D.C., guess what is the infestation that you see all over at night?
Deer was what I saw when I was in Arlington last, but you're there much more than I am.
Well, we're talking about little animals.
Oh.
Rabbits.
Tell me about
rabbits. They're bunnies. Arlington has the cutest, like, nocturnal species infestation. It has bunny rabbits. And so if you're walking around at night in Arlington, you'll see a little bunny rabbit. And it's like, oh, that's way better than a feral cat or a mouse the size of a small dog. Like you will see in Mount Vernon Square and in Northwest D.C. Fergit North, you know. Yeah. So I think we've covered a lot of world issues here. What else should we talk about? Oh, the Iran deal, of course. Have you been following the Iran deal?
Okay. Here's the thing. I don't even want to comment about the Iran deal until there's an actual signed deal.
Right. Because some of the reports that we're getting are that all and every sanction has been lifted, and then we're hearing not all sanctions have been lifted, but they will be if everything's followed properly, and then we're hearing that there's not been any specifications on what needs to be followed, so. I don't know. The whole situation is just really confusing, and it's belligerently confusing. It's just...
it's almost intentionally confusing.
Yeah. Well, just John Kerry he actually came out and said, oh, we have come to the agreement to develop a framework to continue discussions. And it's like, that's... What did you just say right there? That's nothing. You said nothing right there. You said a lot of words that equaled nothing. So, I don't know. I'm very frustrated with the situation because a lot of people don't understand that Iran does bad things. And a lot of people, you know, if you are a contrarian, like I, you know, State Obama is a contrarian. He goes, well, Republicans don't like Israel, Republicans don't like Iran, so I like Iran. You know, and he just wants to do a deal with Iran. Just out of contrarianism. That's it. So, that being the case, I don't think he understands that, you know, Iran really has done bad, bad, bad things, and they continue to do bad, bad, bad things, and they've been killing our servicemen with the IRGC Quds Force fighting against us in Iraq for years now. And then the terrorist funding of Hezbollah in Libya and Syria, and even a terrorist attack in the 80s on a Jewish center in South America. There's a paper trail. This is proven stuff. It's out there. It's not hard to find. But if you're a contrarian, it's easy to just go, well, I'm sure that's just rhetoric. It's not. Iran, Rosewater, Time to Betray, there's tons of books written from Iranian perspectives by Iranian people saying this is a bad country. The government of this country from the top down is bad, and they control from the top down. The top person controls the everything else. It's a dictatorship. So, yeah.
It is a theoretical, no, I mean not theoretical.
Theocratic.
It's a theocratic. Country, there's a prime minister that's elected, but the seat of power remains with the religious organization.
All right. Yeah, when we try to look at it the way it's just like a normal democracy. It's not a normal democracy. It is a dictatorship. So I'm very frustrated with how people are just, they're taking comfort in what the news has said about it, and they're not really looking into it. And I guess I understand that, because looking into the situation, you see how dark and convoluted it is. A place like Iran, where rape is institutionalized, it's completely unfathomable. A liberal-minded person just can't go, oh, rape is institutionalized in that other country? That must be rhetoric. You must be exaggerating. That can't be right. No, it's that crazy of a place. It's that upside down. So I really, really, really want people to look into the Iran situation for themselves. Don't just believe what the, Fox News or CNN is telling you. Actually look into it yourself. And
And that's why I said I am not going to comment, because I've heard pundits talking, and I'm like, there's no way what that person is describing could even possibly be the truth. And I find out, they weren't saying the truth. So, before I say anything, I try to be as right as possible, as often as possible, and I fail at it as much as everybody else does. But I can at least say, hey, I'm going to do my darndest to understand it from as many sources as possible. And whenever possible, find somebody that doesn't have a dog in the race. Times of India is often good for American politics things, because they really don't care. They're just going, hey, here's this thing that's happening. You can find things with very little spin that way. Sometimes some UK stuff covering our internet stuff, the spin is, hey, look at these stupid Americans. And it's actually kind of refreshing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Go to a third party where you can probably get some interesting points of view. I'm gonna cut out. It was good chatting with you, Tech.
Yeah, it was good talking to you too.
And
we have to do this more often.
Definitely, definitely. All right, this is Gunn for the podcast, The Indefensible Middle Ground. Tip your servers and 5-star Uber drivers. Gun out.
And this is Tech Bully signing off.
Mama.
Right, goodbye.